this is what we're going to be talking about today. This verse that you probably can all quote along with it. It's something that we have heard before. There's songs written with this. But can we just read this together? Can we? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Turn and just going to say that again to somebody standing next to you. Kind of preach it to them, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. One more time. Find somebody else you haven't preached to yet this morning. Okay? Come on. We're trying to get this point across. All right? So here, you're telling them. Let's say it again. Ready? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Now, here's what I want you to say to this person. Ask him this. Are you in a safe place? Are you in a safe place? Can we just take a moment and ask God to speak to our hearts today? Lord Jesus, let your word just take root into where we are at. God, illuminate our hearts and our minds. God, show us what we need to discover about the powerful, powerful thing that you have given us. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Love this verse. Remember, we used to sing that song, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." And then it had like the chorus was like the toughest thing to say because it almost felt like you were speaking in tongues because you were like, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Because they tried like, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Because it kind of jammed those together. But remember that? This is the verse that it's based on. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Safe. Safe places. You ever been in an unsafe place? We were traveling quite a few years ago, many years ago, and the person I was traveling with, I had fallen asleep, and we were driving through a very large city, and I woke up, and I looked out the window, and I realized that we were not in a safe place. This was in the early 90s. You remember all of the rioting going on around the Rodney King time, and all? It was just not a safe place, and I woke up, I looked around, and was like, "This is not a safe place to be. This is not a safe place to be." And they were saying, "Well, I just took a shortcut. This is not a shortcut." And I'm sure I was panicking way more than they were. And by they, I mean my wife. And I'm like, "You just go. You don't stop at any red lights. You don't stop at anything. You just get out of here." And she's like, "Calm down." I'm like, "No, I don't feel safe." And we had just gotten married. I wasn't going to say that it was my wife, but she was laughing. But I just felt unsafe. I mean, we were driving, cars, with no tires and barrels with fires coming out of them. It just looked like something, out of a movie. It's just like, I am probably not welcomed here, right? And so let's just get out of here. Let's get out of here. I felt unsafe. You ever been in an unsafe place? We don't feel comfortable in unsafe environments. We're not drawn to unsafe environment. There's something about us that we want to feel safe. We want to feel that we are taken care of, that the danger that could take us out is not a part of that environment. And so we seek safe places. We had our family in Ensenada here this last spring, and we were walking through the town there, and a military Humvee pulled up, and this whole squad of like armed SWAT people jumped out, and they were carrying rifles that you don't normally see people carrying, and they were M16s, and they had all the balaclavas or whatever you call them, and then the vests on, and they go storming in to this building that we were right beside, and so we did not say, "Well, hey, let's just stay around and see what happens." I mean, there may be bullets flying. How interesting is this? Get your cell phones out, boys. This is going to be one of those Instagram moments. No, you know what we did? We hightailed it out of there. "We're American tourists. We'll see ya." Boom, get out of there. It was not a safe environment. They were going in and doing a drug raid. We did not feel safe right there. And so what did we do? We try to find safe environments. And it starts at a very young age, doesn't it? We seek safe environments. It starts storming. Lightning flashing, thunder. What do? We try to find safe environments. How many remember crawling into bed with mom or dad, right? Something like that. And it's amazing how safe that feels. Same storm, same thunder, same lightning, but now I'm in a different place and it's good. It's good. I can fall right back to sleep. Now, on the flip side of that, I realized what my parents had to go through, because there's been a few times that we've had, you know, all the kids and the dog climb into bed. I'm like, I'm glad you're sleeping because I can't sleep anymore. But that safe place, there's something in us that wants to be safe. And I'm asking, are you in a safe place this morning? The writer of this passage, Solomon, is giving us this beautiful word picture. And he's saying that the name of the Lord is like this strong tower. It's a safe place. It's a protected place. It's a place where you can go to be at peace. You can find rest there. The dangers that would destroy you aren't part of that environment. It's a safe place. And he's using this analogy of this strong tower to illustrate safety. Because in that time, walls represented safety. They were in that time and era that they would build their cities and then surround the city with a wall of protection. And the walls could be as high as, we read historical accounts, as high as 40 feet, almost a four-story building that high, surrounding a city. And it was a statement of this is a safe place. That the enemy that would try to invade or the army that would try to attack would see that wall and realize that there was no way that it could surpass that. And so that city became isolated from a lot of what the battle or the heat of destruction would cause, because it had this wall of protection. This was a safe place. This was a safe city, safe from attack. And inside the wall, they would architect these to have the resources to be able to survive. They would have a water source. They would have food supplies, that once you were inside the walls, there was a safe environment to be. And the writer of this is saying that the name of the Lord is a guarded place. And he goes above and beyond just the walled cities, but he says it's a strong tower. The tower was the safest place, because not only was it within the walls, but it had the ability to be able to see danger as it came. It was the safest of the safe places. That the tower was the place where they kept those that were needed to be protected the most. It was the safest place. And he's writing, he says, the name of the Lord is the safest of places. That allows you to see what's coming, but yet do so in a protected environment. But here's an important thing to realize, and this is really the crux of what I'm trying to talk about here, is that in those times and in those cities, the way that they were built and the way that they were architected in those walls and those towers, they worked as long as you remained inside the boundaries of the walls. That you were protected as long as you were inside the boundaries. You were safe. You were safe. So the writer of this is saying that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that is the righteous run in, that those inside the boundaries of that defense are safe. Now, we know this, that he is using this analogy because he's not just telling us to go build walls. He's not just saying, hey, you know, we're going to have a church here. Tell you what, we're going to get rid of the hedge out here, and we're going to build a 40-foot wall all along the side, because this, we want this to be a safe place. Now, if I said that, you look at me as like, you definitely have gotten sick. That flu has gone right to your brain, because that makes no sense. We don't build walls today for protection. We build walls for to keep our pets in from running into the neighbor's, you know, yard. We build fences, not for protection. Hopefully you don't have a neighbor where you have to, you know, architect a, you know, a defense wall between you and the next yard. They become aesthetics. But we still have things that we need protected from. We can't build a wall tall enough to keep out temptation. We can't build a wall tall enough to keep out depression. We can't build a wall tall enough to keep out sin. Isolation isn't a solution. We live in everyday life, but yet we still come under attack. We still need a safe place. And this is what the writer of this passage was telling us. He says, no matter the enemy, no matter the problem, there is a safest of places, and it is found in the name or the authority or the presence or the obedience or the entity of the Lord. That in the presence of the Lord, it is the safest of safe places, no matter what you are facing. I'm thankful for the power of the name. I'm thankful for the authority in the name, that in the name of Jesus, Jesus overcame death, overcame hell, overcame the grave, that he was given for us. In Matthew chapter 1, he says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Guess what? We're his people. We're his people, and there's a power in that name that no matter what you have done, no matter what you have done in your past, there is salvation that can be found in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 says this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. There is safety in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. That's why in Colossians, Paul writes, he says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. He's saying, live your life in the protected place. Make your decisions from the protected place. Live your existence in the protected place because you are under attack. There's an enemy trying to destroy you. Everything you do should be from the perspective of the name. Because when we live our life from the perspective of the name, that's our strong tower. That's where we find safety. But here's the thing. The same principle that applied in the natural world applies in the spiritual world. That safety is found only when we place our lives within the boundaries of its protection. So let me ask you this. Who sets your boundaries? As you look at your life, who sets your boundaries? Who is defining how you live, work, act, speak, dress, spend, save, parent, relationships, moralities, entertainment? Who sets your boundaries? Because the truth is that safety is found when we place our lives within the boundaries of its protection. I can't live outside of the walls and expect to have the same protection of the wall. The writer of this prophetic book, he understands this, and Solomon, the wisest man, writes this. He says, there is a blessing that comes with living life according to God's principles. There is a protection that comes when we live according to God's principles. The problem is that we think we can live according to our boundaries and expect God's protection, and it doesn't work that way. You see, from when this was written thousands of years ago, the same problems have existed. You know, this is a beautiful verse. Put that verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. It's a beautiful verse, but do you know what the next verse says? The next verse, unfortunately, is more in tune with where we live today. Show up the next verse, verse 11. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine, key word, imagine it, a wall too high to scale. You know what he's saying there? He says there is only one safe place, but there's a lot of places that people think are safe instead. He says for the rich person, they think it's their money. Hey, you know what? I've got all the money in the world. I can buy my way out of anything. I'm okay. I'm okay. Then why do we hear of people who have everything being so miserable? people who have seemed to accomplish it all, taking their own lives because they feel so hopeless. You know why? Because they're living under an imaginary safety. Fake walls. Oh, I'm. You know what? I'm okay. You know, it may not be money, but you know what? I'm a good person. My good nature. You know, I've got, this is my family, or this is where I, whatever. We have created substitutes, and we feel safe in those substitutes, but the problem is it's an imaginary wall. It doesn't work. There is only one way that works, and that's in the name of Jesus. It's a life lived from the perspective that God says, this is how we live. This is the purpose behind it. This is the way behind it. There are some people that live their life and they just say, you know what? Don't create walls for me. I'll create my own. You know, don't draw lines for me. I'll draw my own. You know what the Bible says about them? Look at this. This next verse, it says this. It says, throw that next one. A person without self-control is like a city with a broken down wall. Don't tell me what to do. I'll tell you what to do. You know what it is? You're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. A city with a broken down wall means anything or anyone can march right in and take over whatever. And yet, how many live their life saying, I've got it. I'll live it my way. I'll pick and choose what I want to do. Don't limit me. Don't tell me I have to live within the boundaries of that tower. I'm good on my own. And here's the thing, and you've seen it, and maybe you've seen it in the mirror, where a life like this, oh, it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And the funny thing is when something comes in and just marches in and takes over, when something takes a grip of that life, something begins to tear away at that, the relationships are broken or whatever, and things begin to fall apart. They so often look up at God and say, hey, I thought you were going to protect me. Where were you, God? You weren't doing your job. Where were you, God, when I needed you? And God says, I'm right here. I'm right here. You chose to live outside of my boundaries. And so you took on the responsibility of defending yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm a really poor defender of myself. I need a savior. I can't forgive my sins. I can't offer me hope. I can't bring myself up to where I need to be. I need a savior. I need one that has gone before and has conquered every single thing, and a God that loves me, a God that has patience with me, a God that cares about me, a God that is looking out for me. I need a savior. I need that strong tower in my life. Now, I want you to take a look at this verse again. If we can throw back to that verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Maybe you didn't notice about this, but who's moving in this verse? Who's the one moving? Is the tower moving? Who's moving? Us, the people. It wasn't like, God, I'm here. Come on over. Come on, shift that big old building over here, God, because I'm comfortable where I'm at. God, I want your boundaries to be my lot line. I've already put my place here. Now, God, I want you to come and defend my space. I want you to come and protect my place. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And here's the thing. We can say it all day long. We can claim it all day long. Oh, God understands. You know, oh, that's not important. Oh, you know, God just is love. God is merciful. God, I can do however I want, and God will just provide. God is good. God is God. Me and God, we've got this agreement. And you know what? It's just words. You're not being defended. And then when the attack comes and everything starts falling apart, we're going, well, wait a second. God, I thought you were defending me. And God says, look, it's right here. It's right here. The righteous run to it and are safe, which means if we're looking at this verse, is that some of us need to move to be safe. Some of us need to change to be safe. Some of us need to alter some things in our life to be safe. The beautiful thing is this, is God is saying the door is wide open, come on in. That there is no judgment, that there is no, I'm sorry, you don't have a ticket. There is no, you must be this tall. There is no, none of that. God says, hey, come in. Come in and be safe. Come in and find peace. Come in and find protection. Just like the ark in the days of Noah, the door was wide open. That anyone could have walked right in and said, hey, I want to be a part. That's why in the New Testament, he says that in the days that God's going to return, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. Everybody thinks that everything is okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're okay. You know, isn't God just this wonderful, loving thing? We need to realize that there is a war. There is an attack. We need a safe place. And to do that, we must be willing to say, okay, God, you define the boundaries. I live within the boundaries. And that is where I find safety. That's where I find protection. That's where I find that peace that I'm looking for. Now, the thing that it is we can all often tell which side of the wall that you are in by how you see it. From the outside, the walls look limiting. They look tall. They look offensive. That's a big wall. You know, there's not a lot of living room in that tower. You know, I'm kind of scared of heights, too. I don't know about that. It's just going to kind of cramp, you know. You know what? Why didn't he say, you know, I'm going to have this whole field protected? He said a tower. I don't know if I can live within that kind of cramped corners. I'm not kind of a tiny house kind of person. I'm more like sprawling landscape kind of person. From the outside, it looks limiting. From the outside, it looks tough. From the outside, it looks formidable. But from the inside, it looks like protection. From the inside, you see what the purpose is for. I mean, this is true in any aspect of our walk with God. That again, so many things that when we look at God's word and we look at God's way, it just makes no sense. I mean, there's so many ways. I'll just take one that's near and dear to everybody. But when we talk about finances, we talk about the principle of tithing. From the outside, tithing, let's just be honest, looks absolutely stupid and insane. It makes absolutely no sense. Why do that? Why does God say that? That just makes no sense. You want God to bless your finances? Well, you should give to God. Well, then wouldn't I have less? I mean, that's a tall wall. That's a tall boundary. But I tell you this, you talk to anybody that has lived inside that tower and you say, hey, would you be willing to go outside? And they go, you're crazy. You are crazy. This is the safest place. I can tell you how many times attack after attack after attack has come. And you know what? I have felt the protection and the safety of the presence of God because I've allowed him to define the boundaries in my life. Amen. We look at how we use our morality, how we define what we do and what we don't do. It's like, well, what do you mean you don't watch that? What do you mean you don't listen to that? What do you mean you don't go there? That seems so limiting. But I tell you, anyone that has lived within their guidelines and says, you know, I'm using God as the defining of my morality. And they say, you know what, would you ever want to go out? It's like, are you kidding me? Do you see how many things that I have bypassed? Do you see how many struggles that I have made my way past? Do you see all of the things that could have happened that I avoided? Why? Because I have allowed God's tower to define my boundaries. And when I'm living in God's boundaries, it is a safe and a protected place. Are you crazy? Why would I want to step outside? And again after again, we see God's principles played out that way. You look again and again, with everything that God says, there is two sides. He says, look, I want you to live this way. I want you to conduct your life this way. Because if you do, look at all of the wonderful things that will happen. But if you don't, read scripture. It's never neutral. It's never, well, you can be blessed or just nothing. It's either one extreme to the other. He's like, you are either going to live or you're going to die. There's either a heaven or there's a hell. There's a blessing, there's a cursing. And he's saying, step into what I've created. Allow me to do what I died to do in your life. Trust me on this. Come into the tower. Allow me to define the borders of your life. And when you do, you will be protected. If you don't, not safe. Not safe. I mean, the thing of it is that in natural life, we would have no problem with this. You know, I was talking to one of my kids, and we were talking about the dangers let's be frank. We're talking about the dangers of alcohol, right? I said, you know what? Here's the deal. Could you take a drink and be fine? And they're like, Dad, what are you saying? I said, no, just be honest. I said, but here's the thing, you don't know. I said, let's use this analogy. What if your friend had a car and said, hey, do you want to go for a ride? There's only a 10% chance that this car will explode. Just 1 out of 10. 90% is going to be fine. 90, but just 1 out of 10 cars will just randomly blow up and destroy everybody inside. I go, would you get in that car? No. So what if we had a bake sale out here, right? And just, you know what? There's all kinds of brownies, but there are only 5 brownies that contain strychnine. Only 5. I mean, there's probably 100 brownies out there, but there's only 5 that are deadly poisonous. Would you buy anything off of that? You crazy? But yet, how many live our lives saying, I'll be fine. I'll take the risk. You know what? It won't happen to me. And yet we see again and again and again life. We see addictions grabbing to people that where did that come from? We see decisions tearing apart lives and you're going, where did that come from? We're seeing situations come in and overwhelming and you're going, where did that come from? You know why? Because somewhere along the lines, they decided to create their own boundaries and step outside of God's way. That's why we say, read your Bible. That's why we say, get in there and see what God says. What does it say to do? Because those are the boundaries. That's the guidelines of safety. That's where God says, look, there's a blessed side, and then there's an open side. Which side do you want to live by? And again, not just, because, you know, pastor said we had to do this. Yeah, I don't preach that way. What I'm trying to do is get you to do this, is open up and say, God, how do you want me to live? God, what does your word say? God, I want to make sure that I'm living according to your plan because I want to be in a safe place. I want to have that blessed place. Because here's the thing, if you talk to anybody or if you have a life where you've lived inside of that strong tower, you know the joy that is part of that. You know the peace that is part of that. That you can weather any storm. You can weather any attack. And it may look scary on the outside, but you know what? They can't touch me. I'm in God's hands. It may look crazy all around you, and this world gets crazy. But we can say, even though there's a storm, even though there's an attack, even though there's an earthquake, even though there's something that is trying to destroy me, I'm within the boundaries of my God, and nothing can defeat him. Nothing can overtake him. Nothing can defeat him. He's defeated it all. He's already won it. And as long as I am with him, I am safe. And so that's what this is all about. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's about running into the tower. It's about running and saying, okay, God, you define the lines. God, you define the boundaries. And I'm the one that is blessed. And I'm the one that is blessed. The amazing thing is this, is that once we begin to obey, we begin to see it all working together. And that God is not a God of limits. God is a God of expanse. That God is not a God just trying to crank down your life and saying, here's what all you can't do. God is saying, no, don't you realize what I've done? For those, we don't have any, we kind of got a newlyweds over here, we tell them is like, you know what, when you get married, you stop dating other people. That seems so limiting. I mean, like, she's the only one. Yeah, that's it. You're done. I don't know about that. right? You know what? I have never had to say that in marital counseling. Never once. Never once. Never once have I had to have an argument. He's like, what do you mean we can't still date other people? I mean, never once. But yet, is that the case? Yeah, if you want the relationship to succeed, yeah. Right? Don't run away, Samantha. I mean, I was just... Either pray for the whites or feeling conviction. No, I appreciate this couple. But you know what I'm saying? We don't look at that as limiting. Why? Because we're in love. Right? We're in love. So you don't even have to tell me that. Maybe in your life, when you see what God is asking and it becomes a struggle, you need to go back to the relationship and say, wait a second, am I still in love? Because love is what defines those boundaries. Love is what keeps me there. Love is, when I begin to see that, then I don't see it as a boundary. I see it as a privilege. I see it as something that I want to do, not that I have to do. And a loving relationship with God is an obedient relationship with God, but obedience isn't even a factor because it's part of just, it's natural. If you are in love with your spouse, you don't need to be constantly reminded, did you date anybody this week? Let me check your calendar here. Is there any other, did you go out with anybody this week? No. No. Why? I'm in love. Are you kidding me? Now what happens to relationships when the love dies? Then, yeah. Same thing in our walk with God. It goes back to this. A love for God keeps me close to God. And when I'm close to God, God protects me. Because I'm doing what God asked me to do. Not out of because I have to, but because I love him. And God says, it all works together. It all works together. Notice, and I love this, who runs in? It's the righteous that run in. It's the ones that say, I want to have a right relationship with me and God. It's not just the ones that, well, I'm just going to keep these rules. I'm just going to do this. It doesn't work like that. It comes down to this, the heart. It comes down to the heart. I'm sure all of us today can count stories of God's protection, of God's hand. But it's something that we've got to continue because we are constantly being bombarded to come on out. To come on out. Come on, it's good out here. Come on, you don't have to stay in there. Come on, that seems so limiting. Come on, that seems so antiquated. And every once in a while, we need a reminder, there's a reason why we live this way. There's a reason why we give this way. There's a reason why we live our lives this way. Because it goes back to this. There's safety there. There's protection there. And we need God's hand in everything we do. God's hand. Can we stand this morning? Can we just do this? And I know we're getting out early and nobody's ever complained about that, but can we just all come down to the front today? Can we just do this today? And I want us to close by just praying together. There's that unity together, saying, you know what? Hey, we're in this tower together. We're in this together.